Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And I have a special guest today. Brought in the Grandmaster. Is that what you are?
Yes.
Grandmaster of Illinois' Odd Fellows.
The Independent Order of Odd Fellows, jurisdiction of Illinois.
Yeah. And you might go... You might be thinking as listeners, Oddfellows, what's Oddfellows? But there's a building at 124 West Pearl Street in Jerseyville, tall three-story building, and it's called the Oddfellow Building. And the Oddfellows is a group that still meets today. And Jody here, Jody Jedlicka, is the Grand Master of Illinois.
Correct.
So that's pretty, and also you're into photography.
Mm-hmm.
You have your own studio.
I do.
And you do photos for others.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And you also teach. You're a professor at Blackburn College.
I am.
Yes. How about that?
Professor of art.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Glad to have you in here.
Thanks.
Today.
Nice to be here, Chris.
Yeah. So you grew up in Jerseyville?
I did. Proud graduate of Jersey Community High School. Don't ask me what year.
Did you take art when you were in school?
No, sir, I did not.
No.
I did not come to art until I was already supposed to be grown up.
Yeah. And
so,
then did you always have a thing for art?
I always had a thing for photography.
Okay.
And so my photography, I decided to go back to school when most people are winding down their careers.
That's when you went back?
Yeah. I was 52.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
I started at Lewis and Clark. I just wanted to take a class in photography and one in Photoshop. And it turned into a Master's of Fine Arts with photography as my emphasis, but also painting and ceramics.
Well, I'll share with you, when I went to Eastern my freshman year, I needed an elective.
Right.
It could have been my sophomore year, I'm not sure. But at one point in time, I took an elective in photography, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really... Never knew anything about photography at all, but I took it. And I loved it. It was so much fun. You had to get a 35, the old AE-1.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get a camera. And you had assignments every week. You know, this, and you had a very good teacher. And at that point in time, this professor told us, and since you're a professor, you can relate to this. He told us, he goes... 10% is in the shot, 90% is in the dark room. You know, we'd always
Absolutely.
Have to develop our negatives and make our prints.
Absolutely.
And I could spend hours in the dark room. I really got a kick out of it.
Yeah. It's still my happy place.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but you don't use film much anymore, do you?
I still use film regularly.
You do?
I do, yes. I have a dark room in my studio there and one in my upstairs bathroom.
Yeah.
And we have a beautiful dark room at Blackburn, and we'll be adding film into our photography classes there. But mostly we teach digital because that's what everyone does.
Right.
The subject is the same. You still have the assignments weekly. At the turn of the semester, the middle of the semester, then we begin shooting in what we call digital raw.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like you took your images into the darkroom, my students now have to load them onto the computer, go into Photoshop, and develop those images in the same way that you developed in the darkroom. We still dodge, we still burn, we still change things. So it's really pretty much the same thing. It's just electronic, and you just don't get that really wonderful smell of those darkroom chemicals.
Yes. Can you do as much with digital as you used to be able to do? Is it the same artistic flair or not?
Yeah, you can actually do more.
Yeah,
so,
imagine.
I mean, I hate to admit that, but you can.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your own studio. So in your business, what do you predominantly shoot or who are your clients?
Well, I spent a number of years shooting weddings, and I do not do that anymore. If you're very special, I'll quote your wedding, and that you have to be very special.
Mm-hmm.
But I love doing, like, I have one person right now who's wanting to do imagery where she's a 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So we do that type of thing. So any, like... you want to be a goddess and you want a goddess shoot, I'm your person for that. Okay. Something artistic and fun. I also do, of course, my share of family shoots. So I don't do newborns anymore for the same reason that I don't do weddings.
Mm-hmm. I imagine weddings have to be hard. It's all day long. And you have all these people that are all kind of like on pins and needles, you know, and yeah. wanting the perfect shot. And yeah. you're running around from like probably start early in the morning till late at night.
Yeah.
A long day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I did that. I did that for about 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it to the younger people.
Yeah. I mean, you make good money, but you need to make good money.
Yeah.
It's
need,
a lot of
yeah.
labor.
Yeah. You need to make good money. And quite honestly, right now, I don't have time to do it justice. So with being Grand Master of Illinois, keeping my time and a full-time professor, I don't have time to do your wedding editing justice. So.
Okay. So the Odd Fellows. Now, you said that you kind of got started in this with your grandfather?
My grandfather was a 33 degree Mason. He was in the York Rite. He was an Odd Fellow as well. So when I was 12, which is when you can begin doing this, he very much supported me in becoming a Rainbow Girl, which is the young women's part of it. You had to be, at that time, you had to be related to someone who was a Mason in order to be a Rainbow Girl. Mm. And so through Rainbow Girls, I learned a lot about public speaking. I learned a lot about how you present yourself, memorization, and how you should live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to go with that, we're looking at starting a junior Odd Fellows Lodge here in Jerseyville now. I have a couple of, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds who want to become part of the fraternal process. So anyone who's interested in that, I'm really excited about getting that off the ground. But my grandfather carried me all over the state of Illinois as a Rainbow Girl. Later in life, after he passed, I did join the Eastern Star, which is the female side of the Masonic Lodge.
How far does the Rainbow Girls go back? When did they start? You got any idea?
In the 1800s.
Okay. Because yeah. I think my mom was a Rainbow Girl.
Probably
actually,
so.
Actually, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So now, here's a question I have. Okay, when the Odd Fellow building,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of an odd name, you know? How did they come up with the Odd Fellows, you know? Like, did they really think hard on that? Did they think it through?
Okay, first of all, the Odd Fellows were instituted in the 18th century in England. Okay, so it was brought over as the Odd Fellows and we're part of the Manchester Unity, which dates back to London, right? So we've been Odd Fellows since the 18th century, since the 1700s. We all conclude that the reason we're called Odd Fellows, and this is the lore, I can't find it written down anywhere, but this is the lore.
Okay.
That we're called Odd Fellows because at the time we were instituted in the 1700s in England and then brought to America in the 1800s, being a benevolent society, being someone who was charitable and who would reach out to those who were in distress,
yes.
who would bury the dead, who would help the orphan, who would educate the children and the orphan, was an oddity.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we are the Odd Fellows.
Okay. All right. But you're not even a fellow.
I'm not even a fellow.
So at some point in time, what happened? They let the girl, did they have a women's side or what happened there?
We had and still have another side, and that is called the Daughters of Rebecca. And the Rebeccas, as we call them now, are like the Eastern Star, or similar, just like we're similar, okay? And they all were the women's side. So the Odd Fellows were going great and were growing, and Thomas Wilde brought us over from England, and he was going literally up the Mississippi in the tracks of Lewis and Clark in the 1800s, instituting lodges, right?
Okay.
In fact, Jerseyville was instituted originally in 1849.
Been around a while.
Yeah, been around a while. We're almost to, we're what, 175 years old.
Yes.
So so as he was doing that, about the time that we became ensconced, and Schuyler Colfax, and you may know him, he was the vice president during Grant's term. Okay. So Grant was an odd fellow.
All right.
And Skylar Colfax said, you know what? The women actually help us a lot, and we need to have a unit for the women.
Mm-hmm.
And so they instituted the Rebeccas, and Skylar Colfax actually wrote the degree work for that unit of the order.
I see.
And so women were Rebeccas, men were Odd Fellows, until 1999, the Sovereign Grand Lodge said, we cannot be discriminatory. We need to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so women were allowed to begin becoming Odd Fellows after August of 1999, when the Sovereign Grand Lodge passed that legislation. So about 2000, women began to become actual Odd Fellows.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jody Jedlicka with me. She's a photographer, professor in art at Blackburn, and also a grandmaster of Illinois, and also, I guess, of Jerseyville's Odd Fellow.
Oh, no, you're not. No, I'm not the Noble Grand of Jerseyville.
You're not? Who's the Noble Grand of
Jerseyville? Noel Buckner.
Noel Buckner. Okay. I thought maybe you had both duties.
No, can't do that.
Oh, you can't?
I can't even hold an office in my lodge.
So with the Odd Fellows, so they were good deed doers and still are.
Still are. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of good deeds do they do?
So right in our benediction, it says that we will serve our home, our church, our lodge, and our community with our best work, our modest pride, our earnest faith, and our deepest loyalty. And we will perform our duties, and we vow to do these duties, to visit the sick, relieve the distressed, bury the dead, and educate the orphan. Of course, now we educate, we give out scholarships to those who apply.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have both on the sovereign level and our state level and our lodge level, we have scholarships that we give out every year.
You know, you talk about orphans. Both my grandfathers were orphans.
There you go.
You know, I mean, I guess, you know, back in the day, I mean, that was a real need, you know, because it was
prevalent.
It happened a lot. Yeah.
Right. And we didn't have the system that we have now. And so every state has an Odd Fellows children's home or the history of a children's home somewhere within their Odd Fellows history. Our children's home is was in on Wyatt Avenue in Lincoln. Our Grand Lodge is now in Lincoln, and we still have a building that was built as that for that function. We built there in the 1800s. That building was raised, and then another building was built in the 1990s, mm-hmm. 1970s maybe, somewhere around there. Anyway, we still have a building there that was originally our Odd Fellows Children's Home. We have an 1800s building on that property that is currently the Y for the Lincoln area. That was a gymnasium for our children's home.
Are there many children's homes today?
No.
No.
No, they're because of the state. The state system takes care of that.
Yeah.
So it's not something now that we have the right to take care of, for one thing, nor the need.
So how does the state take care of it?
Well, the state has, you know, if you become a ward of the state as an orphan, you become an orphan, then the state steps in and foster homes and that type of thing.
Get you into a home.
Yeah, right. Get you into a home.
Okay.
So
really, like orphanages really don't exist anymore?
Orphanages do, but they all have state affiliation. Like Catholic Charities Home down in Alton has state affiliation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's still operating, Catholic Charities?
Yes.
Still have kids there?
Yeah, still have kids there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here in Jerseyville,
mm-hmm.
okay, tell us about what a person could expect if they wanted to do some good deeds and join up. They had some extra time, and they wanted to join the Odd Fellows group.
So if you wanted to join the Odd Fellows here in Jerseyville, you would find currently not as large as we would like group of people. We have been kind of a closely held secret by those who came before us, shall we say.
Yeah.
But we have right now a very vibrant group of people who are looking to get our hands dirty. We're mm-hmm. looking to go out and help. We're looking to be a vibrant and integral part of our community. you would find that you would need to come to a meeting once a week. I hope to make another meeting night for a social night in the future so that we all have that camaraderie. Mm-hmm. You would find a family. We treat each other as family. And yes, that means that once in a while we fuss with one another a little bit. Yeah. So
how would you help? How do you help the community? What are some things you do?
I'll give you some examples from around the state.
Okay.
We have, for instance, August 15th, I'll be playing mud volleyball on behalf of our Mount Zion Lodge.
Okay.
As a part of their Pony Express Days in Mount Zion. The money that is generated from mud volleyball will go to a young man who they have designated as has a need. Last year, they gave like $18,000 from this event to a family in need. Mm-hmm. So these are the type of things that we do. And as we grow in Jerseyville, this is what I envision. I envision a cornhole tournament where the money will go to some family or some charity or something in need.
Okay.
Some community need. So
are you guys affiliated with any church at all?
We are not.
No, but you are Christian?
We are biblically based.
Mm-hmm.
Our petition says that you need to believe in the supreme creator. Our valediction says, I believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We do have some Jewish members. We have members who believe in a supreme creator, but maybe not necessarily Christian, okay? But you have to believe in the fatherhood of God. We recite the Lord's Prayer at every meeting, which mm-hmm. is, of course, New Testament. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it at that. But we are not affiliated with any denomination, any sect, any political party, any of that. We leave all of that outside of the lodge room and endeavor to elevate the character of man.
Okay. Can you tell me, you'll take any age group, right?
You have to be 16.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But 16 or up.
Mm-hmm.
So why would someone want to belong to this group?
Because from what I see and my experience, we all need a place where we feel that we're doing good, where we're reminded that we are not on this island alone, where we have the benefit of family, where we have a belonging. And in our society, don't you think belonging is something that is kind of gone by the wayside?
Yeah. I saw something just the other night, how today's, you know, the people of today, especially younger people today, that they rely so heavily on the phones. They live their life on Facebook and scrolling, mm-hmm. you know, and how that's a tough way to live. It's a tough for people.
Right.
You know, and there's not a lot of belonging to actually real people, you know.
Yeah.
So
if you're looking for connection, you're looking to not just hang out and watch TV. You're looking to come and be a part of something bigger than yourself, to be a part of a family, because we do take care of one another. Like I said, once in a while we fuss at one another, mm-hmm. but that's what families do. We greet one another as brother and sister. And whether I agree with your politics or doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We leave that outside of the lodge room. In fact, we close that door and the distinctions of life are left on the outside of that door. We gather to do good.
To do good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to do,
mm-hmm.
to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have a current project you guys are working on?
I have a current project I'm working on.
Yeah. What do you
and
got going?
I think my lodge is working on, well, we're working on the building for right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my project right now is that I am instituting a Grand Master scholarship because so many people get left by the wayside where scholarships are concerned. I know when I went back to school to find a scholarship for a student like myself was impossible. And so I've instituted a Grand Master Scholarship where the Grand Master will be able to choose someone who's possibly a non-traditional student, not a student who fits into our other categories. I'm like, we do a lot of ag, we do a lot of medical, we do a lot of, like, you're coming out of high school, these are great scholarships, right? But if you're wanting to go to grad school, or you're wanting to go back to school and you have kids and you have this and you just need that extra money to buy books, to get you over the hump, to get you, then I want this Grand Master Scholarship to be the place that you can go.
I see. So, how are you putting together funds for that?
I am selling challenge coins with my emblem on them. I am begging my lodges. Actually, I've had some really good response from lodges donating to my Grand Master Scholarship Fund.
Oh, great.
So not only do we give away tons of scholarships through our scholarship committee in the state of Illinois, we give away a lot of scholarships through the scholarship committee on the sovereign level. This is just one little extra for people in Illinois who may not fit completely into those categories.
Yeah. You know, and if there's a lot of people out there that are good deed doers, you know, and maybe they're doing good deeds by themselves. So,
come join
you know,
us.
The thing is, if you want to join and have some help and maybe help yourself, it would be a good place to go.
Yeah. So we will be doing some things for Christmas. We've worked with the ministries before in the adopting families. We 1 year we gave baskets to the elderly. We've donated baskets to the parents of those children who are getting those things at Christmas because they get sorely left out, right?
Yes.
All types of things that we do, and we do it quietly.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I got you. Any last words you want to add to this interview before we wrap it up?
No, just if you're interested in learning about the Independent Order of Odd Fellows, I would be happy to talk with you. You can also go to our website, which is IOOF.org, or our Illinois website, which is IOOF-IL.org, and find all kinds of information there. If you're not in Jerseyville, we have about 46 lodges in the state of Illinois. We're in 138 countries. And the only state we are not in the United States is Alaska, and we'd be glad to help you get set up there.
Is there a phone number they can call for more information?
Sure. You can call my number, which is 618-570-4406. If I don't answer, please do leave a message, and I will listen to your message and call you back.
All right. Well, Jody Jedlicka, thanks so much for coming in. It's been a pleasure and very informative.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
You're welcome. Take care.